Welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you tuned in our broadcast again this week, and we're got a special series of broadcasts considering these three questions. Are you ready for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you ready for the end of this world? Are you ready for your judgment? We want to challenge the folks here in Logan County and each one. This whole world's been going on for 6,000 years, and yes, I believe that that is the case. It's been going on for 6,000 years. And there are those that doubt that, and there's evolution is predominant in our day in our education institutions and that, but it doesn't change the facts and the testimony of the Word of God. This whole world is 6,000 years old, give or take, and that the Lord has promised as He promised and as He created and as He sent the flood because of wickedness and sin, that one day He is going to judge this earth, and He's going to do so by fire. There's going to be an end of this earth, and this earth won't be here to live on anymore. But there will be a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness, the Scripture says, and only those that have been saved by the Lord Jesus through repentance and faith and trust in Him, trust in His gospel, His death, burial, and resurrection, only those that have Him as Savior will live there eternally. The destination of those that reject Christ and reject His gospel, as it has been since the beginning, the destination of those will be hell and the lake of fire. They will have a judgment, and those that are without Christ will be brought up for the great white throne judgment, as we're told in the book of the Revelation. But there'll be no hope. There's no such thing as purgatory. There's no such thing as suffering for a while and paying for your sins and then getting out to go on to bliss and eternal glory. No, those things are determined in this life. And we point sinners, we point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is of the Lord, and you need Him and His gospel. We want to take a look at, in regard to these three questions, and we're considering different passages, no particular order, not trying to order anything as far as prophecy regarding the last days. We've touched on some of those things, but that's not our focus, is to order all that and to time all those things out correctly and such to attempt to do so. But it's just to challenge folks to consider what the Scripture says about there is an end. And are you ready? We've taken a look about the resurrection, that the saints of God will be raised. John chapter 5, I think we're going to take a look at that chapter here where it talks about the Lord Jesus. He is the judge. And so we'll be taking a look at that. All will stand before Him. It won't be some judge that will be appointed by God that sinners will stand before, but sinners without Christ will stand before the judge, which is the Savior. And so the very one that's been rejected will be the one that sinners without Christ will stand before. Here in John chapter 14, passages, wonderful, wonderful passages here while the Lord Jesus Christ is a day before or a night before His the night of His betrayal and the night before His crucifixion. And just the great care of our Lord Jesus for His church. even though he's facing these things. He knows what's going to happen. He knows that it's the plan and purpose and the preordained counsel and wisdom of God that he's going to be turned over to the hands of wicked men. They're going to do what they're predictable to do in their depravity and sin. They're going to kill him. And yet the Lord submits to that. He willfully lays down his life. No man takes his life from him, but he lays it down of himself, he says. But here, as he deals with the disciples, and he's told them about what he's going to do, and they deny that, they reject that, they're sorrowful about that, they have great trepidation about what the Lord Jesus is saying that he's going to do there at Jerusalem. He's going to be rejected of the elders and given over to the hands of the Gentiles and all that. They don't want any part of that. Peter, when the Lord began to first declare that to them, Peter said, "Far be it from thee, Lord." And the Lord rebuked him, saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan. You don't savor the things of God. You're just savoring the things of man, what you want." And of course, they're very comfortable with the Lord Jesus Christ being there. And being near to the Lord is a great and wonderful thing indeed. There's blessing and learning and comfort and help and strength with our Lord near. And so they desire that, and they have great confusion about it. But nevertheless, the Lord Jesus is telling them things in advance so they might be assured and might be comforted when it does come to pass, and that they might be helped. And the Lord Jesus, even though he's facing death the next day, in less than 24 hours, the Lord Jesus Christ knows that he will be dead. At the same time, the next day, he knows that he will be dead and in the grave. He is yet caring for his disciples. And I tell you what, that's just a touching, wonderful, gracious, merciful care of our Savior for his people and for his church. He says unto them here in John chapter 14, verse number 1, John chapter 14, verse number 1, "Let not your heart be troubled." And we've got a lot for our hearts to be troubled about and with in this day, don't we? He says, "Let not your heart be troubled." He says, "You believe in God, believe also in me." They, the disciples, and the apostles, they are those that have faith in God. They have been following what they've been instructed in, what they've seen in Judaism, and they've followed the Lord in the day that they've been lived. They've inherited some things that are wrong indeed, as we do from our fathers. The Lord Jesus has visited them. They're saved. He has saved them. They're part of his church here. They're part of his ministry. They're witnesses of his ministry. And he says, "You believe in God, believe also in me." He says, "I'm not taking anything away from the Father in that you believe in me," because he's told many times that he's been sent from the Father. He is the Father's answer to those things that he's going to do for his nation and for his people. He is the answer of what God Almighty is going to do for the salvation of sinners. He says, "You believe in God, believe also in me." He says, "Listen, in my Father's house are many mansions." And that's just what it means. Mansions. Great places to live. Wonderful, spectacular places and abodes to live. He says, "If it were not so, I would have told you that. If it wasn't true, I would have said and told you that there weren't mansions there." But he said, "There's plenty of places to live. There's plenty of places to live. Many mansions." He says, and what a wonderful thing. He says, "I go to prepare a place for you." He says, "I'm going to make a place for you there. I'm going to go and I'm going to prepare a place for you." The King of glory, the Son of God, the great creator of the universe and savior and king and judge, is going to go and prepare a place for mere mortals, for mortal men that he saved, for mortal men that he loves, for men, women, boys, and girls that he saved. And he's going to give his life on the cross of Calvary in the context of this passage. He's going to prepare a place for us and for them. He says, "I go to prepare." He said, "You believe in God, believe also in me." There's many places to live. There's many places to live in my Father's house, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. Verse 3, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." I'm not going to do that work in vain. But I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I'm doing that work and I'm taking care of those arrangements, know of a surety, I'm coming back for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That where I am, there you may be also. Do you want to be around the Lord Jesus now? Do you want to really be around the Lord Jesus now? Only those that are saved want to be around the Lord Jesus. It tells us plainly in John chapter 3 that those that don't want anything to do with the light that the Lord Jesus is, they go from Him. They like the darkness better than they like being near Jesus. Why? Because they love their sin more than they love the Lord. Those that have been saved by the Lord hate their sin, and they're thankful for what the Lord Jesus has done for them, but they know that their sin costs God everything in the sacrifice of His Son for them. He says, if I'm going and doing this work to prepare a place for you, surely I certainly will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. A life lived without Christ will result in an eternity without Christ. But a life changed by Christ and walking with Christ and salvation by the Lord will result in an eternity with Christ. He says here, and whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. You know where I'm going, and you know how to get there. There's confusion on the part of the apostles, and it would be as the case with us too. He says, as Scripture says, Thomas said to him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? In this great and wonderful passage of John 14:6, it's just so few words, but so great, and so much could be expounded from this. He says, and where I go, you know. You know the way, too. You know where I go, and you know the way. They said, Thomas says, we don't know where you're going, and we don't know the way. In verse 6, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way. I am the truth, and I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. See, Jesus is the way. It's not the way of good works of men. It's not the way of the baptismal pool. It's not the way of church membership. Although many things are in obedience to our Lord, and those that are saved should obey the Lord, should desire to obey the Lord. But the way of salvation, the way to eternity, the way for the Lord to come back and get you when it's time, the way for the Lord to prepare a place for you in the great house of His Father is by the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way. If we're resting in Him and we're trusting in Him, if we've been saved by Him, if you'll repent of your sins and look to Him in repentance and faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and the Lord save you, you can lay all those things and all that uncertainty and all those unknowns right on Christ. He'll take care of it all. He'll take care of it all. Sinner, repent and believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I see that our time has passed for now. May the Lord bless you with His word and His truth. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.